So if you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you would turn to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16. And so just to give a little background of where we're at and here. And 1 Samuel chapter 15, the Lord came to Samuel and gave him a word for Saul. And he told Saul to go to Amalek and to destroy all the Amalekites, to destroy all their possessions, everything, and kill their king, to utterly destroy them. And do not take anything from there, but utterly destroy them for what they did to Israel when they were coming out of Egypt. And Saul disobeys this order. He spares the king Agag, and then they take the best oxen, the best sheep, the best fatlings, and the best lambs, and all the good possessions they take. And then when the Lord comes to Samuel and says, "I greatly regret installing Saul as king." You know it's bad if God himself said, "I greatly regret installing Saul as king, because he has not kept my commandments and he has turned away from me." And it grieves Samuel, because Samuel was the one that recognized Saul and was the one that thought, because Saul was tall and because he was handsome and he stood head and shoulders above everyone else, that he would be a good king. It says that Samuel announced to the people that there is nobody else like this man, and the people yell, "Long live the king." So when Samuel comes to Saul, he tells Saul's like, "I did what the Lord said." He was like, "Oh yeah? No, you didn't. The king's still alive. You took all this stuff." He was like, "Well, you know, we wanted to sacrifice to God." And then Samuel said to him, he said, "Obedience is better than sacrifice." So we pick up in 1 Samuel chapter 16, starting at verse 1. It said, "Now the Lord said to Samuel, 'How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel?'" Some of us have been mourning over something for so long that God has said, "That's not for you. I've taken it away for a reason." But we're here, we are. It happened 25 years ago, and we're still mourning over it. It's time to let it go. God has a new thing. So he says, "Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons." You know, Saul was pretty cocky. He thought that there was no one else like him. But you know, God always has a remnant. He always has somebody that can step up when it's time to step up. Elisha, he was after the rain came down and the king was ready to kill him. Jezebel was ready to kill him. He's sitting there mourning and crying to God and said, "I'm the only one left." And the Lord said to him, he said, "I've got a remnant of 7,000 that have never bent a knee or never even cried out to the king. So you're not the only one. If you do not obey, if you do not do what God commands you to do, you are replaceable. Ask Saul." He said, "I've provided myself a king among his sons." And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me." But the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. You shall anoint for me the one I name to you." So Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, "Do you come peaceably?" Now, when the prophet would show up, one or two things. He came to bring blessings, or he came to bring judgment. So that's why they were scared. They were like, "Uh-oh, something's going on. Is he coming to give us bad news?" But he said, "I come peaceably." And he said, "Peaceably, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." So Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse, I'm running out of sons here. I'm running out of people to bring before you. Thus Jesse made 7 of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all the young men here?" Then he said, "There remains yet the youngest, and there he is, keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here." The title of my message this morning is going to be "From Anonymous to Anointed." Holy Spirit, I just thank you for this message that you've given me. I thank you for this time this morning. I thank you for your people that you have brought today, God. But most importantly, I thank you that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I pray that this word goes forth and it just accomplishes what you intended for it to accomplish, God. I give you the glory and the honor and the praise. In Jesus' by name I pray. Amen. So Samuel comes and he finds Jesse. And he consecrates Jesse and cleans him up. And he anoints his sons. And you know, I got to think that Samuel's like, "I got pretty good odds here. Because they're all tall. They're all strong. They're all warriors. They're all good looking. They're all nice and cleaned up." But you know, I heard somebody say you can put lipstick on a pig, but it's still a pig. And so Jesse brings his sons. Well, the ones that he's not ashamed of. The ones that he thinks are good enough. I started talking about this on Tuesday night with the guys at the jail. And I had to draw from personal experience because I don't know about you, but I've been at times in my life felt like my family was ashamed of me. Felt like that I wasn't worthy to be counted with my family. I wasn't worthy to be, you know, with them. Or, you know, if something happened, they might not call me, they might not text me, because I was a wild boy at one time in my life. And I would do some things that would greatly embarrass them. But I was still their son. I was still their family. But, you know, Jesse brings the sons that he thinks are the best. The best of the best. And, you know, don't we do that sometimes to God, that we bring him what we think he wants? We bring him what we think is our best. Well, he said, "I want everything. All the good, all the bad, the ugly, and everything in between." He wants us to bring him everything. He don't just need my very best, because I'm not going to be my very best every day. I promise you, I'm not built like that. There ain't enough espresso, Red Bull, meth. I'm just kidding. That part. There's not enough for me to be my best self, best version of myself every day. There's just not. So he needs me to bring every part of me to him. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Because Jesus didn't just die on the cross for the good parts of me. He didn't just die on the cross for the good things that I have. He died on the cross to save all of me, every bit of me. From the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. From the crazy at 6 a.m. when I haven't had my coffee yet, to the running 100 miles an hour by about 10:30. He wants all of me. And so Samuel comes to the first one, the oldest. You know, now in the Bible, like that firstborn, they're special. They got a special blessing. And he said, oh, he's the oldest. He's tall. He's handsome. He's good looking. Saul was tall. Saul was handsome. Saul, that's got to be the one. But God said, no, I refused him. He said, man looks at the appearance. He said, but I look at the heart. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. And when I was in college, every year, my fraternity, we would have a couple golf tournaments a year. And one particular year, I had a team, and one of my people couldn't make it. And so I had to get one of my fraternity brothers to be on my team. And so this guy shows up. I mean, he's got brand new golf clubs. He's got like Tiger Woods gear from head to toe. And I'm like, oh man, this guy's gonna be great. And then we get out on the course, and he is absolutely terrible. Because he looked the part, but he lacked the skills necessary to actually play the game. And how many times do we dress up and look the part when we come in church, but really on the inside we're broken? Really on the inside we're torn? Really on the inside we're messy and we're dirty, but we don't want to bring that part? Because when Jesse brought his seven sons to be anointed to possibly be king, he bathed them up. He got all the dirt off of them. He put on their best linens. He put on their best clothes because they needed to look their best. But you know what? You can look as good as you want on the outside and have a cancer eating you up on the inside and nobody even knows. You can have trauma tearing you up on the inside and nobody even know. You can have hatred in your heart that you keep masked by your fake smile and, you know, putting on your fancy shirt and putting your makeup on. Because I'm glad when God looks down that he sees me the way that he sees me. Not the way that other people see me. Not the other way that other people have known me. Because if you were asked some people from my past 15 years ago, and you were to tell them then what I'm doing now, they would have laughed in your face. They would have probably died laughing because there was no way that I was ever going to be that. There was no way that I would ever, were ever going to be this. But you know what? God knows what he's doing. I don't. But God knows what he's doing. So then the next son passes by. He's like, nope, not him either. Then the next one, nope, not him either. Then the next one, no, 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 seven times no. And I said, seven. That's the number of completion. In 6 days he created the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested. He didn't rest because he was tired. He rest because he was finished. So he was like, Samuel's confused. He's perplexed. He was like, now God, I know I heard from you. I know you told me to come here. I know you told me that there is a king here. But everyone that has passed by, no, 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 no. I'm like, it's like he had bad credit trying to get a car loan. No, denied, 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 denied. And Samuel, he says, God, what are you trying to show me? What are you trying to teach me here? You know, sometimes God is trying to break our stereotype. He's trying to break our stinking thinking. He's trying to break the way that we do it so that he can show us to do it the way that he wants us to do it. He wants us to see the way that he sees. You know, that's one thing that I love about Pastor Stacy. I have not seen it with my own eyes because I have not been on a mission trip with him before. But several people in here have. My wife has been with him. And I remember when she came home, she could barely talk about what without getting emotional, because she said, no matter what they looked like, no matter what they smelled like, if they didn't have a dollar to their name, that Pastor Stacy, he didn't see that. He saw a child of God. He saw a soul that needed to be saved. And she said he loved on each and every one of them. He didn't care what they looked like. He didn't care if they were putting a dollar in the plate. He didn't care anything about that because he saw them, that they were children. And Samuel was just like, well, they're tall and good looking and strong. They must be the king. So he gets no, 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 no. Anybody ever had God tell you no over and over and over and over and over and over and over again? You're like, can I get a yes? Can I get a yes? Can I get a yes? And so Samuel says, is this everybody? I know I didn't just waste my time coming here, carrying this horn of oil, consecrating you, getting your kids all prettied up, just to be told no. You're hiding something. You know, sometimes the very thing that we think we need to hide from God and the very thing that we think, oh, he don't need to know about is the very thing that he wants to use, is the very thing that he's had in mind all along, is the very thing that he was like, I wish you would just stop trying to act like it's not there and just be honest with me and just let it go. And so the Bible says that, well, there's the youngest, but he's out in the field tending the sheep. I was like, okay. See, David was the youngest, but he was also disconnected because he had a different mother than his brothers. And they were never married. He was born out of wedlock. He said, I was conceived in sin. He said, I was born in iniquity. That he was formed in sin. And so David, Jesse just kind of kept him in the background. Like, yeah, he's my son, but. He's my son, but, you know, he just tends the sheep. He just runs my errands. He don't need to do nothing important. And then Samuel says, well, go get him. And we will not sit down until he gets here. And so his brothers go and they get him out of the field, right? And so I'm thinking, okay, now they're going to take him and they're going to clean him up and put pretty clothes on him and make him look pretty and presentable. But you know what? I think we've all got that misconstrued that I used to hear people say it all the time. Well, I'm going to get myself together and I'm going to get my act cleaned up and then I'm going to come to God. And then he's going to be able to use me. God will use whoever he wants, when he wants, however he wants. And so he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. He comes in. He hadn't had a bath. He hadn't been cleaned up. He's been out in the field tending sheep. He's sweating. There in the Middle East, it's not cold there. It's very hot. He's been around sheep. Sheep stink. He's dirty. God said, him. The one that's dirty. Him. The one that was forgotten about. Him. The one that they tried to hide. Him. The one that he really don't want anybody to know about because it's the one that brings him shame. Him. That's the one I want. The Bible said that he was ruddy. That means that he was reddish. That means his skin complexion was a little bit different than his brothers. The way he looked was a little bit different than his brothers. It said he had bright eyes. In the Middle East, most of them have dark eyes. But it said he had bright eyes. And he was good looking. You know, while he was out there tending those sheep, he was out there worshiping in the field. He was out there praising in the field. It didn't matter. He's like, it wasn't him. I'm just tending sheep. I'm obeying my father. I'm doing what my father has asked me to do. Nobody even knows what's going on out here. They just think I'm out here hanging out. But you don't understand. I'm out here praising. I'm out here worshiping. I'm out here doing what my father has asked me to do. A job that just seems normal to everybody else, but to me it's the most important thing because my father wants me to do it. When in the story of David and Goliath, he's saying, he was out there, he said, and one day a bear came and the Lord delivered him into my hands. And then another time a lion came and the Lord delivered him into my hands. So you know that he trusted in God. He said, I'm just out here in the field. But God said, him. Because his heart is inclined towards me. Him. Because even though he don't look like everybody else, I don't need carbon cookie cutter cutouts of everybody. I need a little bit of this one, a little bit of that one. I need something like this, and I need something like that. I need to be able to use anybody and everybody. And while he might not be as tall as his brothers, and while his skin complexion might be a little bit different, and while the nature of his genealogy is a little bit different, his mama, they ain't got the same mama and all this good stuff, I want to use him. So if you said this morning from Galatians 6:9, like, don't grow weary in well-doing, for in due time you will receive a harvest if you just wait. So David is anointed to be the next king. Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. You know that had to make them mad. I was thinking about that. When I say he anointed him in the midst of his brother, I thought about Psalms 23. He said, he prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. They're his own brothers, but they can't stand him. Because he's the one that was chosen. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. You know, David didn't even know why he was drawn to being a shepherd. He didn't know why he loved it so much. But that was the job that was getting him ready to be the king. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. So David's 16 years old when he's anointed to be the king. And, you know, he went through a lot before he finally took the throne. It would be 15 years of fighting, 15 years of going through struggle, 15 years of Saul chasing him, 15 years of being ostracized and having to go live amongst the Philistines, 15 years of fighting giants. But you know what? He was anointed, and he didn't grow weary. So I said all that to say, where you're at right now is exactly where you're supposed to be. What you're doing right now is exactly what you're supposed to be doing. 1 Peter chapter 5, it says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and in due season, he will lift you up. You know, David gets anointed to be king at 16. And guess what? Okay, that's great. I'm anointed to be king. He went back out tending his sheep. Then he went and played for Saul when Saul would get tormented by spirits. Then he would go and kill Goliath and make a name for himself. He wasn't so anonymous anymore. So non-anonymous, in fact, they would say that Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his tens of thousands. But you know what? God was with him through everything. I know there's been plenty of times in my life where I felt like, is this it? is all I'm doing. I'm stuck in the same place. I'm doing the same thing. I wash, rinse, and repeat. But you know what? God has always taught me something. That when I move on to the next thing, I can use what I learned in that thing. David didn't grow weary. He was like, okay, I'm anointed to be king. First of all, nobody even called me to tell me this was happening today. They waited till the last second. But here I am. But I still got to go tend the sheep. You know, God has anointed us. If you have an anointing, that's a great thing. But you still got to tend the sheep. You still got to go and do things. I know some of us have been overlooked. I know some of us have felt like, God, I've been serving you all these years. Why haven't I got this? Why don't I have that? You know, I had a nervous breakdown. Not really, but, you know, had a moment. And I was like, looking around. I was like, well, I know this one. They don't serve God. And look what they got. And this one don't do this. And look what they got. And I'm struggling and going through all this. And God had to remind me. He said, I'm more than enough. You know what? You're more than enough. You are more than enough. Somebody just need to hear that today. You are more than enough. You don't have to be anything more than what God has called you to be. You don't have to be anything more than where you're at right now. There may be more to come, but where you're at right now is exactly where He wants you. And while we'd like to be the son that, or the daughter that they shine up real pretty and put on display, God said, I don't look on the outward appearance. I look at the heart. We don't have a physical issue in the body of Christ these days. We have a heart issue. We have an intention issue. We have a character issue. Is that we won't just admit, God, I don't know it all, but I know you, and I know you know it all, and I know that you created me, and you created this universe, and you are more than enough, and if you live in me, I am more than enough because you are more than enough. You know, I remember the very first time that I felt called, and I was pretty young. I was probably about 13. I didn't really do anything with it. I went through a pretty rebellious, crazy phase of my life. Then I met Stacy and I met my wife, and when I was about 25, I felt it again, like God was calling me. So I told Stacy. And me and my stupid mind was like, man, he's going to send me out. I'm going to be doing a revival next week. But no, I was not ready. I had to put the time in. I'm 35, and I really just started getting opportunities to preach a couple years ago. But I had to put the time in. I had to show up. I had to let him know that it don't matter if I'm not standing behind the pulpit. It don't matter if I'm not leading worship. I am not here for the title. I'm not here for the notoriety. I'm here because God is in me, and He is more than enough. That Jesus Christ died for me, died on a cross for my sin, and it don't matter if they leave me out in the field tending sheep. I'm still anointed. Don't matter if I remain anonymous. I'm still anointed. You're still anointed. He's still got a purpose. He's still got a plan for you. The Bible says in Proverbs that many are the plans of a man's heart, but it's the purpose of the Lord that shall prevail. So you just keep your hand to the plow. You keep doing what you're doing right now. And in due time, He will lift you up. In due time, He will lift you up. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. But you keep your eyes on Him. And He's got a purpose. And He's got a plan.
Yes, He does.
We've all had our David moment where we felt like we were pig last, or we weren't enough. But I don't ever remember God asking me to be enough. Because I couldn't die for my own sins. I couldn't save my own self. I certainly couldn't save nobody else. He said, you just keep on keeping on. He's more than enough. If you're watching this morning by media, God has a purpose and God has a plan for each and every one of us. You are handmade. You are handcrafted by God. He made you in His image and His likeness. You are not nothing. You are not a nobody. You are somebody. You are a child of the King. And remember, do not grow weary in well-doing. Don't give up. Don't give in. But you keep your eyes on Him and you keep looking towards Him. He will lead you and guide you and direct you. The Bible says in Joel chapter 2, those who call the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. Thank you for tuning in. We will see you next week. God bless you. We love you. Thank you.